Man, this is fun. I'll tell you that right now. This is just a better sports town when people are excited, genuinely excited about the Steelers, Bob.
There's no question about that. And also, people, it's funny how it works. The next day, you feel a lot better. There's stuff to talk about. And I understand why people, when they get angry, they want to call and vent.
Yeah.
The opposite happens. When things go well,
well, now we got, now we have full phone lines,
but,
Bob.
But you did it in a way, it was like you went fishing somewhere.
Yeah.
And you put out some bait that people took.
That's right.
And so they're you're going to reel them in right now, I think. So let's go.
Fisherman, Bob? Do you like fishing?
I only like fishing when I can go out there and bring a bottle of Cabernet and watch someone do that work.
Yeah, I hate it.
It's very nice and tranquil. I like it.
I'm afraid of the worms from childhood trauma.
I don't
trauma
like worms. I don't like anything that moves. I killed a 1,000-legger this morning.
Why would I want to torture a worm by putting it on a hook? I felt that way at 7 years old.
Do you feel guilty killing lantern flies?
I've never intentionally killed one. I've stepped on a bunch by accident.
Do you feel sorry?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do too.
I feel bad for
them. They're so pretty.
I mean, it's a fleeting.
I don't think they're pretty, but
it's a fleeting.
Are you kidding? They have all these different,
I've had horrible experiences with fishing and water.
Why?
Everything. The thing I told you about putting a worm on a hook, I never liked that. I stepped on a sunfish in the Adirondacks and its eye popped out.
Oh.
There's nothing.
When there are stink bugs in your house, do you get a tissue and throw it outside?
No, I get a coffee cup and a piece of cardboard. I trap it in the cardboard and then either throw it down the toilet or outside. And do I feel bad when I throw it down the toilet?
That's a little bit more extreme.
That's an extreme choice. You want to fly away or you're going to drown. There are some serious
issues
there.
Bob, you got to send a message. Every once in a while, you got to send a message.
Just use the tissue, the cardboard, and the coffee cup. That's a lot of work.
You don't think the other stink bugs know when somebody went down the toilet? You don't think that word gets around?
No, I don't think they know because the stink bug is down the toilet. Who are they going to tell?
No, they hear the sound of the toilet flushing, and they say, Starkey's here. Look out. Let's go in another direction. Or if you send them free, I think they would stay away from
you. I legitimately have that line of thinking. I killed a spider. In the basement the other day, which is my little, they keep me like a cat in my house. There's a little cat door and everything's in the basement. My own bathroom, everything. I killed a spider, Limits, and I left him there, dismembered on the rug. Why'd I leave him there? Message. You want to come out?
You actually think that?
Oh, that's a thought.
You're
yeah.
sending messages.
Anybody
that
want
another
to,
1,000-legger will look at that and say, oh my God, carnage. He's here. We got to get out of the way.
Exactly. I want it out there. If you want to come out of the drain or anything else, and you want to be out in the open as like this was like an ugly big black spider. Look what happens. Speaking of that, Bob, the Steelers sending messages left and right here. And here's a guy I want to compliment. Three games in, Mike Tomlin is doing a hell of a job with this team early in the season. He's got a new coordinator. He's got new offensive linemen all over the place. He's got a new communicator on defense. He has a new quarterback. Maybe that should have topped the list. And I think he's doing a fabulous job. This is one of the few days that I come in here on a Steeler Monday, and there's nothing to even nitpick about a win. Like, what coaching decision could you even nitpick? I thought he handled the end of the half very well. Where and when he used his timeouts, how he handled that. They wound up with a long field goal attempt by Boswell. It should have been closer. Freiermuth had a drop right before that. He coached a great game, plus he's in charge of the defense. And if I've been first to blame him for defensive failures in recent years because he's the coordinator of that defense, then I should be first to praise him when they're allowing like 9 points a game. He's doing a phenomenal job early with this team.
There's no question. We got a lot of calls yesterday about attempting that field goal and allowing Justin Herbert to have one chance. But here's the thing about that. You have to make a decision at that point. I've seen Chris Boswell hit him from 65 in practice or in the pregames. There was no wind. It was a perfect condition. He can do that. And you're also, okay, if you miss it, you're giving them one chance at a Hail Mary. Is that? To me, that's not a big deal.
The clock would run out. I'll be honest. I thought the clock would go down to zero. But that could be one. If you do want to nitpick one,
that's a second guess nitpick.
Well,
because you would think, okay, you're going to punt it there. Is that it? And just end.
No, you attempt the field goal, but somehow you get it to 5 seconds or less. Right? Did the Chargers call timeout at that point? Who called timeout? Look at your sheet, Bob. You have a whole sheet over there.
I do have a whole sheet. Now, you're asking. I was in the middle of doing something else.
I don't know. But if we're, I guess
multitask.
If we're going to nitpick, that would be it. But I thought leading up to that, everything was handled quite well. And to be honest, I thought the clock would run out limits. Did you?
I did, too. I was surprised that there was 1 second left, especially the distance of the field goal, how long of a play that's just going to take.
I thought that ball was going to be caught, by the way. Did you?
No.
As soon as he sidestepped that guy and chucked it into the end zone.
I'm surprised how far.
Oh, you're talking about the Hail Mary, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Romo said it should have been caught. I don't know if I'd go that far.
I disagree. It was over the guy's hands.
I'm surprised how badly Boswell missed that field goal because of how good he was from 57, 59, whatever it was in Atlanta. And I know it's outside kicking to the open side of the field. But I thought Boswell was going to at least have it online, maybe just a little bit short.
Mike Tomlin praise, very, very well deserved today. He has concocted, him and Terrell Austin, both three really, really just masterful defensive game plans in the first three games. And he's handled everything really well. You want your team to get better. Too many penalties. They bring in officials on a Friday or whenever they brought him in. And yesterday, almost none. And two of them were because they didn't have seven guys lined up at the line. But generally speaking, outstanding stuff. Here's a question for you, Bob and Limits, and then we'll get to the phone lines. What was your original win total for the Steelers, and how have you adjusted? I'll answer that. I was originally at 10-7. Now I'm at 12-5. Bob?
I was at 9-8. Now I'm at 11-6.
Wow.
I was at 10-7. I'll go to 11-6, even though I still think 10-7 is a good number.
You still think 10-7 is a good
number? I still think 10.
Usually you're on the optimistic side.
If you still think it's the right number, you didn't have to.
Well, no, because I like the start that they had because I didn't think they'd win the Charger game. So I naturally am moving them up one additional win because I had them losing that game at the start of the year and they won it.
I think they're one game ahead of the pace. I thought they would split their first two and then beat the Chargers. I actually didn't think the Chargers would be this good. I'm pretty impressed with them, actually.
Yeah, I actually thought they were going to beat Denver and the Chargers and lose the opener. And that opener, you can say this too, they caught Atlanta at a good time because Cousins hadn't played at all.
Yeah.
And he looked extremely not ready. So they took advantage of that.
But for me, it's not about them being one game ahead of the pace I thought they'd be at. It's about how they look defensively and how Justin Fields looks. I'm very surprised. And if I were a Steeler fan, I would be absolutely thrilled. He was great yesterday. Great. And now you have Anthony Richardson. He's horrible. Is he last in the league in passer rating? Limits, could you look that up for a moment? I think he's last in the league in passer rating. Then you have the Cowboys at home for a night game. They're going to beat the living hell out of the Cowboys. Do you know that, Bob? I think you might disagree with that.
I think that may be the one game where you have some explosive guys over there on that side of the football. And
yeah.
CeeDee Lamb may have – I mean, I don't know about that game. I think that's a night game that the Steelers should bring their best. The fans will be insanely crazy that night. Dak Prescott can be rattled. I saw it yesterday a little bit too. It could go their way, but it also, you can see some big plays. They have too many talented guys on that offense for Dallas that you can shut them. And their defense is pretty good too.
So. No, they're not. They're horrible.
I don't know.
They can't run the ball.
They can't stop the run, and they can't run, feeds right into the Steelers'
hands. I think
they're
what they're showing.
Did you see some of the numbers about their run defense? It's worse since, I think, the 70s, dating back to –
Bob,
what,
I
think 5 yards per carry defensively?
I want you to take back your comment on the Cowboys' defense. They stink.
Again, it's three games. They're better than that, and they will get better than that.
They got destroyed by Jordan Love in the playoffs. The Bills ran for 200 yards against them last season.
New Orleans ran all over them.
How many yards did the Ravens have rushing yesterday?
Well, the Ravens, I know that...
274?
They ran
what
the ball
was this, Pitt
45 out of
State?
60 times. And Derrick Henry had 150-plus yards, I believe, in that game. You know, you wonder about Derrick Henry. Why, again, I would have thought a lot of teams would have been interested in him. He every year he does it. He's like the Cam Hayward of offense. You know, he gets better as the years go on. Not maybe what he was at the beginning of his career, but he's still very productive at what he does.
They've given up 72 points and like 600 yards rushing practically in the last couple of games.
I get it,
the
but
Steelers
I think they're better than that. They went into the season.
They might be.
We'll see. I mean, again, it's week to week in this league,
It is. I just think that the Steelers announced themselves yesterday as far as I'm concerned, but I think the whole nation is going to see it in that night game. Again, they're going to go into that Dallas game at 4-0 after they destroy Anthony Richardson.
You ready for these numbers?
And then they're going to pound the Cowboys for everybody to see, and then you watch the hype train get started.
Anthony Richardson is lighting the world on fire, Joe. He leads the NFL in interceptions with 6.
Oh.
He has the worst completion percentage in the NFL, under 50%, and his quarterback rating is second worst to only Bryce Young, who was benched.
Bob, you line up, you run the ball, you don't make a turnover, you're going to win next year.
If they do that, yes, I agree.
And they have a quarterback now who appears to be pinpoint accurate. What was he? What is it? Where does Fields rank in accuracy in the NFL? Top 5? He's at like 73%.
He's 6 in completion percentage at 73. The only ones ahead of him, Gardner Minshew, Josh Allen, Baker, Geno Smith. And how about Jaden Daniels through only 2 games, number 1 completion percentage?
I think Geno Smith in Seattle is one of those teams that are just kind of laying in wait there. They're pretty good.
Let's go to the phones, Limitless Wonder, please.
Let's go to Josh in Pittsburgh.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, guys. So just 2 quick things about the Steelers. So first, I'm really excited to see kind of what they do with Roman Wilson. I mean, the offense hasn't looked terrible without a really solid number 2. And I think, you know, they spent a good draft pick on him.
Yeah.
I think he can turn into that. So I kind of want to see what they do with that. And then I was at the game yesterday, and I can say that whenever Justin Fields had his scramble touchdown, that was a QB1 reaction by the crowd. They made it sound like that was their guy, and that was a lot of emotion there.
Yeah, I love that. And I love what we're hearing from fans. Appreciate the call who are at the game, Bob, who talk about the energy. Did you hear the MVP chant for TJ Watt?
How about that? Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Well, if you take those 2 sacks, 1 strip sack in Atlanta that were nullified by penalties, I mean, the guy win rate is unbelievable.
You also see that Max Crosby has a high ankle sprain? you can't in any way minimize that loss for the Raiders. That's their TJ Watt. He's like a notch below TJ, but still a complete game wrecker. You got to like it when the breaks go your way too with injuries early in a season, Bob. I mean,
there's no question.
It's hard to believe he's going to be at full strength in 2 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, based on what we've seen from them, and Roman Wilson had one. It's taken 2 months. Who knows about Herbert now? You know, they have a big game with the Chiefs this week, too, and if he misses that game, they're in big trouble, I think. Plus, Alt and Slater, their 2 bookend tackles.
Gone.
Gone with injury. It was just a physical beatdown in this game yesterday.
It was.
That's something that can travel and go week to week. You can do it.
Precisely. And I think this is going to be different from the 12-0. The 12-0 start, or the 11-0 start they had a few years back. You could feel by the end that they had been found out offensively. They couldn't really run the ball. They couldn't push the ball down the field either. It was a throw short, run long Randy Fichtner offense, and it worked for a while, and then they just ran out, and you could feel it. I don't think that's going to happen to this team. Injuries could always happen. You lose TJ, well, big trouble. Although I will say, they lost Highsmith yesterday. They have better depth at that position than they've had in a long, long time in the form of Herbig. So who knows? Maybe for a short time they could even survive a TJ injury.
Can I throw out a hot take, Joe?
Please.
I think that Nick Herbig is as good and will be better than Alex Highsmith in a year.
Ooh, Bob, what do you think of that one?
He is terrific. I think he's got that high of upside and potential.
The only thing I'll think about him is he is so quick to the outside, and he has the potential getting to the quarterback and changing the game that way. I wonder about his run defense, though, if he's
I need to see him play down to down.
He doesn't – exactly. He's in there, and give him a lot of credit, man. That guy is just working his way into this conversation, and he should. But doing it down after down after down, especially when people – target you a little bit, and you have to respond to it and you know, fight off those blocks.
Also give Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan credit for that draft pick, maybe Andy Weidel too. Who knows who was on to him? Somebody was, and Tomlin has done a perfect job unleashing him in certain situations. Now, yesterday, Highsmith was hurt, but still, you have Herbig one-on-one. I think it was with Slater, his first sack. Maybe Slater was already out of the game. I can't remember.
No, that was his first sack around Slater.
He totally shocked him with his quickness on that play. He was shot out of a cannon. That kid is a budding legend, Bob.
But
next.
Go ahead.
No,
I was going to say he needs to do more than just that, though. Once people start understanding that that speed rush is coming, he has to go and change and do some different stuff.
Yeah.
Which he will.
I mean, man, that's a weapon to have when you already have high. Did we see what happened to Highsmith? What happened to him?
Groin injury. Which are nagging, you know, linger, who knows?
I'd be excited. I love Highsmith, but I'd be excited to see Herbig get a start or two. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
You would get more information about what he can do down to down.
Next.
Let's go to Nolan in Toledo.
Hello, Nolan.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
So I want to preface this by saying I don't think the offense was bad yesterday. But through the first two games prior, I thought the offense was a little safe. And I wonder how much of that is due to not just quarterback play, but the offense, and is Tomlin part of what's keeping the offense from breaking out? Like, I want to see them win a game by 2-3 scores.
Well, they
like,
did. They basically did thing. Yesterday. You might have seen Najee go down at the 1 yard. As far as I'm concerned, the score of that game was 27-10 because that's what they were dominating to the tune of. And they have a new quarterback, a new coordinator, young guys all over their offensive line, new wide receivers behind Pickens. Tomlin actually made a lot of sense when he talked about the first two games, saying, listen, it's very early here. We're doing what we have to do offensively. And then they made a major leap forward yesterday, in my estimation, Nick.
No, and I agree. That's why I wanted to say I wanted to start it by saying I didn't want to dismiss yesterday, because I very easily thought they should have put up 27 points. But going back into the last even 2 years, like, and with the start of this season, I was just kind of wondering, was Tomlin part hindering the slow offense and the safeness of the offense?
I think that was part of it. Obviously, with a quarterback like Fields, who has this history of turning the ball all over the place, they had to make sure that changed. And I think it's, you know, step by step. Yesterday, you saw more. Maybe they're now convinced he can do it more. They had to see a little bit first. But I would expect, as this continues to go, that you're going to see more down-the-field chances, more in-the-middle chances, and that's going to make it tough on any defense to try to stop them if their run game continues to, you know, churn out yards.
I agree, and I think the answer to that question is yes, Tomlin has stifled the offense in recent years, if for no other reason than the hiring and doubling and tripling down on a horrendous coordinator that falls on the head coach.
Yep.
Without question,
and I think Arthur Smith has an idea of what he's going to be doing.
So do I.
As long as it continues to be progression by their quarterback. And so far we've seen that. So next week I would expect in Indianapolis to see more of it.
And Tomlin wanted to win in a way where he has believed that he has a dominant, great defense for years now. And unfortunately, the offense was so bad that it crushed his own defense. You know how many three and outs they had? You know how many times they had a lead in the last 2 years? Almost never. They did nothing to help their defense. So attrition set in, injury set in, and all these other things, and he wound up with not very great defenses. Last year, the Arizona Cardinals walked in here and put 150 rushing yards on the Steelers in their home building. I mentioned last week, Limits, that sort of the litmus test for this weekend was going to be the Steelers' run defense. Because when I've seen legitimately great Steeler defenses overall, they crush even good running games at home. And that's what they did. They ruined that Charger run game that was best in the league. J.K. Dobbins was averaging over 9 yards a carry. He averaged like 2.3 or 3.1 yesterday. I can't remember which. 61 rushing yards for that team yesterday. This, I think, is a great Steeler defense. And if you give them even a little help offensively, and man, these lengthy drives keep them off the field. You give them a little lead in the second half. TJ Watt said that yesterday after the game. When we have a lead, we're very, very confident. You have a closer. You have the best closer in the game in TJ Watt. You have a defense that can close games. This offense is helping this defense. They don't necessarily need, you know, the greatest show on turf here. They just need an offense that's not going to give the other team the ball. They already had that with Kenny Pickett. We'll also take time off the clock, give your defense some rest, and maybe even give it some points, Bob. Give it a lead.
That's all it needs. It really is. You may, and I think, yes, all so far, three games, you see what happens when the Steelers occupy the time of possession, convert third downs, extend drives. Their defense sits, rests. So when it comes on the field, it's high caliber. It's ready to go. In the past, they have not done that. You mentioned Arizona. There are a lot of games like that last year where all of a sudden they're on the field for 13, 14 play drives, giving up a lot. Next thing you know, there's a three and out on offense, and they're right back on the field. That's not good for any defense, especially one that comes out with the kind of energy this one does. So offense is extremely important. You don't necessarily even have to score 30 points a game. We used to talk about that all the time. You don't need to do it. If you get into the 20s consistently, this defense is good enough to win games.
That, to me, is the – we've all seen truly great Steeler defenses, and it begins with not just stopping the run. Yeah, we'll hold them to 90 or 100 or 110 yards. No, no, no. It starts with crushing the run at home. I mentioned I didn't think I think this is their best defense since 2010. That unit – was 20 yards clear of everybody in the NFL. It allowed 63 or 61 yards per game. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I wanted to see this week as a signal that this was that kind of defense, and man, we saw it. They allowed a couple runs early, and then they just shut it down. And that's what you want to see. You know when the last time the Steelers ranked in the top five against the run, Bob? Limits? Either one of you want to guess about that?
I'm going to say 2012.
I'm going to say later than that. It wasn't 2012. It was later than that.
2015.
Okay.
That's the last time the Pittsburgh Steelers ranked in the top five against the run. When was the last time they were number one against the run? Wrong. 2010.
Well, they're going to be number one in just about every statistical category after three games.
Yeah.
They're number one in points allowed for sure, and that's always a big one. But, you know, yards per game, I mean, there's a lot to make you think. Or they're giving up on average 61 yards a game to the opposition. If you can do that every week, and you know, they've had some pretty good. Bijan Robinson was a pretty good running back there. Not so much in Denver, but this game yesterday with Dobbins leading the way. Two out of 3 weeks, they've totally shut down really good run games.
Yeah, and I can't help but notice that yesterday, Sean Payton and Bo Nix really got it going against a team that was playing great, Bob. So like I said, the Steelers' first two wins look way better now, considering what has happened since. The Broncos ran for 140 yards yesterday. 140 yards. Bo Nix ran for 50. The Steelers completely bottled them up. So, listen, I'm gushing today, but maybe we're right here.
It could be. Do you have a line on that game with next week Indianapolis? I'm just curious. They should be favored, and I'm wondering what that line is.
Fan Twitter brought to you, I think it was 2.5. But don't quote me on that. What is it, Limits?
Currently two, favoring the Steelers.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And we want you back again and again to talk more Pittsburgh sports. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Bob, coming up. I want to hear from people, too, and the lines are lit here, about whether this team has changed your mind and whether Justin Fields has changed your mind. We all added at least one win. You and I added two wins from our preseason total, Bob, didn't we?
Yeah, based on what we've seen, why wouldn't you? Because now it sets up. So I thought, actually...
Go ahead.
I thought they were going to be good in the first half of the season, but not this good so far. So I saw some losses in there. We'll see. But... you know, and there still could be some. The Jets are going to be better than you think.
For sure.
Aaron Rodgers doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And what I saw yesterday from Daniel Jones, and a really outstanding rookie wide receiver who scored a touchdown yesterday, Malik Nabers, he is going to be a superstar and somebody tough to contend.
They're
going to
leave a chalk outline of Daniel Jones on a field somewhere. He won't even be visible by the end of the game.
It'll be a police yellow tape.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to put yellow tape around him. Come on, Bob. Daniel Jones?
There's a murder in the building.
They're going to break him in half. I forgot what else I was going to say.
I'm just saying, it's one of those games that could pop up like no one expects.
Oh, the other one, yeah, but so are the Browns. The Browns now are two of those divisional games late in the season, and by that point, by that point, the Browns will be, they may be shooting for the number one pick. Miles Garrett.
They don't have one, do they?
They well, that's right. They may be in line for trading, for having someone else take their number one pick. Miles Garrett's hurt. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Both feet going into the game, left the game. Deshaun Watson is a disaster. They gave up 8 sacks. They have injuries on their offensive line.
The offensive line's in
they
bad
got
shape,
beaten
yes.
by the New York Giants at home. Those are two wins. Those are two wins for the Steelers later on this season. Man, it's a feel-good Monday. I think everything changed yesterday. I did. Game one is always a write-off. You know, you don't know what's happening in game one. September can be, too. I'll acknowledge that. But yesterday felt different. Justin Fields, I think, seized the quarterback job. It's unimaginable to me that if Russell Wilson were declared healthy right now, that he would start next week. That is unimaginable. Do you agree with that?
Yes, and I don't think you'll see him move from the number one QB one spot on the depth chart, though. I think that's going to be there just because it's a respect factor. I'm going to be interested to see what Mike says tomorrow about the injury situation, because Russell Wilson every week for
he's
the last
gonna
3 weeks
the same thing.
Said it's getting better.
And I still wonder, by the way, if Russell were in his prime in Seattle, if he'd be playing all these games. I can't get the report out of my mind from week one that Adam Schefter said he told the coaches I can play
right.
in the opener. Has he gotten worse since then?
I mean, he doesn't.
I don't know. And could it be in a weird way that the Steelers season took a turn for the better? And this isn't, you know, I don't wish anybody to get hurt, but took a turn for the better with that stupid blocking sled drill that they never would have known or tried Justin Fields if not for Wilson's injury.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if that's how it started and it continues and gave him the opportunity, yeah, it could be the best thing that ever happened to him in terms of future.
Well, you that's know, definitely what gave him the opportunity.
When you see these teams like Miami, which has so much at stake for this season, fall apart now, two injuries, Tua is going to eventually be back. But they're going to need someone beyond who they have. And there's talk about who's
would you
available.
Trade Russell?
See, I wouldn't. For the
me,
same
me
reason
neither.
I wouldn't have traded Dan Moore. People wanted to do that at the beginning of the season because, oh, you have Broderick Jones and you have Troy Faltano. But guess what? You also know that sooner or later you're going to need that depth. If you had traded him, I don't know what you would have gotten for him, but you would have been at a disadvantage right now, I think. Now, they have guys like Dylan Cook who can move in and play, but they're not to the same level, obviously, as those. If you traded Russell Wilson right now, you do have Kyle Allen, so he's a veteran, but you limit your options for injury insulation. And I never liked doing
that. I think that's a strength that they have is depth at the quarterback position.
I thought that last year.
I'm saying with Russell Wilson is your strength.
Right, right.
I wouldn't trade him. I would not trade Russell
Wilson
right now.
Would you dangle him and see what?
No, I'm not. I'm not interested.
If the team gets desperate enough,
I'm 3-0. I'm thinking. Listen, if Justin Fields were to get banged up, we might have a great option here in Russell Wilson to go to. I wouldn't want to jeopardize.
And that's
what
I would love to have that insulation, knowing that if something happens, whether it's performance related or injury related, that Russell Wilson's ready to go.
Here's another shout out for you, Bob. Broderick Jones, I thought, showed a ton of character bouncing back from as bad a series as an offensive lineman has ever had, maybe, in that Denver game. And for him to bounce back and I thought play really well. Romo called him out for an early mistake on an identification. But other than that, I thought he was very good. Not noticeable, and I mean that as a compliment. Shout out to him, Bob. Broderick Jones for that game.
You know, and after
he didn't
game,
have to go against Bosa because Bosa got hurt, but nevertheless.
He did go against Bosa early on and pancaked him 15 yards behind the line. He just drilled him down. It was unbelievable what he did to him. But that's what he's capable of, you know. And I know that Mike Tomlin did not ever think that this guy wasn't going to be hurt from. He did what he had to do last week because he was guilty of too many bad plays. But that guy was number one for a reason. That guy they moved up to get for a reason. He's still going to be, I think, a good player for them, whether it's right or left after this year. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you need those guys. And I'm going to go back to Dan Moore, though. Dan Moore played a very solid game at left tackle. At the beginning, he had a couple of plays that he got lost on, I thought.
Yeah, you can live with that. And that was Khalil Mack for at least a good portion of the time.
Right.
You want to know how to lose a game? to, oh, I don't know, the Denver Broncos, be like Tampa Bay, winging the ball around all over the place. 33 attempts got away from their game plan because they fell behind early. So what do you get there? You get 7 sacks of Baker Mayfield. You have an interception. You have a lost fumble. You have a bunch of problems, and you lose 26-7 to Tampa. That's what Mike Tomlin's trying to avoid and doing a very good job of it. And then yesterday we saw a big progression, a big leap for Justin Fields. Back to the phones. Wonder Twin, who do we have?
Let's go to Micah in West Mifflin.
Hey, Micah.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I got a couple takes for you. You definitely got to keep in Fields. If you put in Russ and he does bad, you know the fans are going to give you some stuff for it. And the other take that I have is, couldn't it have just been the Bears in general? Like, if you think about it, yesterday I'm watching the game, Caleb Williams threw 46-plus passes. I feel like the Bears just want too much out of their quarterbacks.
Right, and they're not surrounding those guys with the kind of philosophy, strategy to make them develop a little quicker. When you're throwing a ball that much, not many rookie quarterbacks are going to come in and light it up. They just don't. It takes time.
No, absolutely not. And that's kind of what they wanted out of Fields, too, which may have caused the turnovers out of what he was doing.
Appreciate the call. Of course it could be the Bears. They're the Bears. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Our football talk right now, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits, still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Wonder Twin?
Well, let's send it over to John, who's in Hermitage.
Bob, very subtly, I've switched to Wonder Twin, and you have had no comment
because
on that.
Because you've called him all sorts of things. I don't know what to believe. I think his name is Austin. We have forgotten what Austin is. Austin?
Well, that's why it's City Limits. It was Austin City Limits to start out with and has morphed all the way into Wonder Twin.
I have this to present to the table.
Please.
I was at the game yesterday.
Yes.
And a buddy of mine has a tailgate, and he introduced me to someone, and he said, have you met my friend City Limits? And he said, you mean Austin Bechtold? And I said, yes! I said, that's me! And I knew Bob would be happy.
Yeah, because
Bob
your mom and dad want to, they behold the Bechtold name. They don't want to City
Limits. I've met his mom and dad, and they liked City Limits very much. Go ask Donnie
Football.
I'm
sure they don't like it more than my name.
I think they do. Go ask Donnie Football how a nickname
works out
for you.
Did you give him that nickname?
No.
Okay.
That was, I think,
No, that's
Pony.
A good name. I get it. But then he also morphs into Donnie Baseball, Donnie.
Sure.
You know,
and
soccer.
This guy morphs into Wonder Twin. How are you, sir? What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, love the show. This is a feel-good Monday.
Sure is.
Where are you calling us from? You're in a chamber.
I'm
or some
in Harmer. I'm in Harmer. From my cell phone. What does it sound like? I'm in prison.
Kind of.
No, I couldn't imagine that. What's on your mind?
But anyhow, let's get to the Steelers really look good for the first time on offense in 2 years since Ben was here, in my opinion. I mean, they threw the ball over the field, you know, and the quarterback just looked great. And
what about the Cincy game last year where Mason tore them up?
Well, since we lost Mason, you know, my mistake, you're right. Rudolph is the only one that actually looked good in the last 2 years at a quarterback. But I knew Tomlin wasn't going to keep him. Didn't you think that?
I thought they would keep him. Not necessarily as their starter, but I thought they would after what he did.
No, I thought he was determined to see what was out there for him. And they didn't make him an offer he couldn't refuse. And I think it all ended very happily as far as I can see, because I like Justin Fields better. Although you might see Mason in Tennessee. How about a final thought, sir?
He's gone.
Oh. Let's take one more, Limits. That one was interesting. I'll say that.
Yes.
One.
Let's go to George in Aliquippa.
Hello, George.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
That was quite interesting, last caller. But anyhow, I just want you to flip the game and say that was Harbaugh that had the ball at the one-yard line. I guarantee you he would have punched it in to run it up. Now, that's a class act by Tomlin. But I'm just wondering what your guys' feelings are. If the whole game was flipped, do you think Harbaugh would have punched that in? And one other thought on this. The announcer said that Najee, he kind of went down the end of the game. I don't believe that. In the heat of the moment, he wanted into that end zone.
Well, it's interesting. I love that.
Let you guys talk.
I love that topic,
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate it. Tony Romo did say that Najee might have gone down in bounds just to end the game. I'll say this. He appeared, if he had just kept running straight, I think he would have scored. I think he wanted to invite contact because he loves contact. He like waited for that guy to his right to run him over. And then I thought, well, let me think here. Was it the right move then, Bob, just to kneel on the ball? Yeah, it was sportsmanlike.
Yeah,
do you score there? Do you try to get point differentials and tiebreakers?
I don't think Harbaugh would have done that either. I honestly think Najee Harris was determined to score on that run. He had six guys on his
back. Tony Romo said no to that.
Well, I disagree with that. I thought the next play, obviously, was the right play in the victory formation. You just take a knee. Although, speaking of taking a knee, here's a friend of mine who had this prop bet yesterday.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes yards rushing. Okay?
Yeah.
So over and under was like 41 yards. I forget what the exact total was. Well, he had 50 at the end of the game until they took three kneel downs. He lost 5 yards, lost 4 yards, and lost 4 more yards. And that went from over to under, and he lost his bet.
Holy bird milk. Well, let me present you with this, Bob.
Should that count? Kneel downs when you're talking about
over
and unders?
No, it shouldn't count against your rushing yards. It should just be a non-play.
It should be a non-play. That's what I always say.
Shouldn't count at all in the stats. Tiebreakers at the end of the year. One is head-to-head, right? Let's say it was Steelers-Chargers or Steelers-Chargers and Bills looking for that last wild card spot. Head-to-head. All right, sometimes you don't have that. Best one-loss tied percentage within your own division. That could easily be tied. Best one-loss in common games. And then after that, best one loss in games within the AFC. Guess what fifth is, Bob? Like, you don't have to go teen here. Five is strength of victory in all games. So are you justified in scoring at the end?
You're going way down the rabbit hole to come up with the fifth tiebreaker.
I mean, I said, I'm not going to the 11th.
This is not the NCAA or the college football playoff.
All right. I'm just asking.
Where you score 80 points because you have to. When was the last time we went that far down in a tiebreaker? I'd have to know that before I say that's a reason to punch a ball in it.
Like I said, it's only number five, and there are 12. The last one's a coin toss. Can you imagine if the last wild card came down to a coin toss, Bob? With a lot of pressure there, what would you call? I think I'd go tails.
I might go tails also. Because most people think heads. But
so if head-to-head is inapplicable, you go to your divisional record, even if it's a tie out of your division. Okay, you might have the same. Then common games, conference games, and then strength of victory. Like, I don't think that's... Well, when's the last time it went to... Strength of victory. Let me find out, Bob.
I mean, you'd have to dig deep down. I can't believe it would go that far down. It has to be. I don't remember any situations recently where that was required.
I know. I'm just asking. That's all. I'm just asking. I would have been tempted to score the touchdown. But I think it was, in the end, it was a sportsmanlike move by Tomlin. And like I said today, at the top of the show, and maybe it was a little bit into it, that I think he's been great so far. And I really, even the end of the half, I'm not going to nitpick on.
No.
Leaving a second on the clock.
I don't have a problem with that. You're trying to get points. This guy's been, you never know if those 3 points are going to be. And what's the risk? The risk is some Hail Mary, which has probably a 1% chance of working. I get it. You're giving them a chance. But Boswell's normally been automatic. And I know 62 is a lot. We saw the guy from Dallas, what's his name, Aubrey? He hit a 65-yarder. That dude is going to eventually break the record, I think, from Justin Tucker. But there was no wind. There was no conditions. I would have tried that, too. I have no problem with that.
I can't find the furthest they've gone in the tiebreaker to determine a playoff
team. That's because it hasn't happened in a long time.
I found in 2006, the Giants almost had to go to strength of schedule tiebreaker.
Which one?
I think that was lower than the one I mentioned, strength of schedule. I want to find this limits, and I want you on this project. Can you look this up?
Yes.
You ask a lot of Austin.
I know, he's incredible. And he treated us to a pizza today. City Limits did.
I saw that exchange.
Yes, the Vast Research Bureau also providing the goods.
What a wonderful man he is, Bob. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The fact that people recognize you as City Limits. What about Horse? When he was coaching youth football, he was recognized as Horse.
What I said is he recognized me as Austin.
Oh, and that was a big moment.
Yeah.
Back to your original name.
Correct. My given name from 23 years ago. Compared to my dubbed name
months ago. But you also wear t-shirts that say City Limits, right?
I do have one, yes.
Do you want to go back to just Austin?
I think we can rattle back and forth between both.
What's okay. The other one you called him just now?
Wonder Twin.
Wonder Twin. What is that about?
I forget how that became.
You think he looks like that kid from the Wonder?
No. How did that? What was the
evolution of
Wonder
Twin? I don't know where you sprinkled that one in. You call a lot of people that.
No, just you.
Okay. God, I'm unique in that sense.